I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Back together again.
Carrie overcame
whatever I had,
his illness, and now we're back.
What did
in
you call it?
A
rogue bug or a road bug?
A road bug.
Oh.
Like you got it on the road.
I thought you said rogue bud.
A rogue bud.
That's no, a rogue bug.
A rosebud.
Just a fisting cold.
No, it was just a road cold.
I'm better. I'm still congested, but, you know, I don't feel like giving up.
Your viral load is relatively low.
Yeah. It wasn't COVID. I know that. I think it was just a pure old late winter cold.
Yeah.
But doing better.
It happens to the best of us.
I was telling Laura, when I started feeling better, I took myself to see a movie in Hollywood at the Chinese Theater, and it was The Batman, and I wanted a 7 o'clock showing, but the only one was for this 4MAX or something, and I was like, oh, sounds kind of like IMAX, you know, didn't do the research, went and bought a ticket. They were, you know, they said it was $25, and I said, that's probably how it is these days.
Cost of doing business these days.
You know, I haven't been to the movies in a while. I was like, this is just, these are times of war. You know,
I haven't gone to the movies in so long. And I was as soon as theaters open, I was in there like 2 or 3 times a week.
You were Nicole Kidman.
You know what actually happened to me?
What?
I hate AMC so much. I think they're the grossest, most disgusting movie theaters. And I can't take their color scheme and that Nicole Kidman, like, 3-minute intro, and the fact that they do 30 minutes of previews before every movie. I was like, I literally, AMC, the brand, has driven me, a movie lover, completely away from the movies. And that's, like, the only theaters within, like, that are the easiest access are all AMC theaters.
You're heartbroken by AMC. Heartbroke does not look good in a place like this.
No, they have killed my vibe. Have you ever walked into an AMC and thought, God, I love it in here. This is so clean. And it feels like just like a clean, great space to enjoy a flick in.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
At the Grove.
Interesting.
That theater is nice.
I think your standards are too low because the Grove, it's sick in there. What? It is. It's sick in there. If you really looked around and took stock...
I just like a giant, I mean, of course my preference
like is... like a movie palace.
Of course my preference is the Dome.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because I was raised in like New Jersey where it was just all like movie palace types places, and I didn't really grow up going to like old timey movie theaters or like indie theaters kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't either grow up with that.
Well, I don't know. I think I just like my tolerance for shit big movie theaters is just like very high.
Mm-hmm.
But I obviously would prefer like the Arclight or you know,
Pacific theaters that used to own the Grove.
I like the one that Sunset 5 is that AMC too.
Yeah, that's like maybe the only like okay AMC that you don't feel like you're necessarily in an AMC, but you are.
But I understand why you were driven away. They Pied Pipered you away. And
it just feels like everything's covered in like sticky hand juice and like popcorn butter.
I don't like that there's like a basically an airport terminal of fountain soda stuff. I don't like that you just go up and do it and it's like sloshing everywhere.
Germ.
That's pretty creepy.
I like it when someone fills up my fountain soda for me.
I like the Vista.
Yeah.
I like a theater like that, like kind of old.
And there are cute theaters on Wilshire but those are like independent theaters or whatever.
Like the Quentin Tarantino one.
Well, that's like the New Beverly. I like that theater. But like if you want to go now to a big, like a luxe theater, your options are just AMC theaters, which took over everything, which sometimes I would willingly, I liked when I could make the choice, which I often would, to say like, oh, I'm going to go to Century City, go to the mall and see a movie in the AMC theater. But then I had like a lot of other choices. So it was like, it felt free. And now I feel like I'm trapped in just an AMC hell where there's nothing but AMCs everywhere I turn.
The Chinese theater is great.
Yeah, that is a great one. But you have to really...
I mean, it's not great where it is. It's hard. Like on Saturday night...
It's a fight.
I was
and
like...
And you literally entered the void.
No, I was in like... I felt like I was in Blade Runner. Just walking through the crowds.
It's unreal.
It was like...
The parking garage. You could walk there. So that's like a different... Walk. That's like... That's really great.
It's great. But it's... It takes like 10 minutes to walk there. Maybe less. But... The crowds you have to push through, the tourists, it's like, it's, I mean, I basically live near Times Square.
It's like the streets of like Delhi in like fucking Hollywood Highlands.
It's Blade Runner.
It's shoulder to shoulder.
LA Blade Runner where it's just like cross now.
You're getting jostled around or you're getting like someone trying to sell you like a pinwheel that
or
lights up.
Drag racing on this.
Yeah. Or someone trying to like draw a caricature of you or just like Spider-Man stealing your wallet.
And like I was at the ticket thing and I said, oh, she said, pick your seat. And I was like, oh, B8. And she went, D8. And I said, no, B. And she goes, D. And I said, no, B like Beyonce. And all of a sudden I heard, and I looked over to my left and some girl dressed like Harley Quinn was smoking a cig with her like dog with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, and like laughed at my joke. And I was like, oh God, want to come watch this movie with me? HQ? Yes, queen.
Was she just like off duty?
I think she was taking a break.
I've seen her before. She got it.
She was like this gay. But I was just like.
Classic gay move.
But I was just, you know, anyway, guys, people who don't live in LA are like, I don't fucking care. But they get, I think people understand.
They're fascinated.
I think they understand what we're talking about. The giant movie. Death Stars.
If you live in a city that's like not a huge city, chances are the nearest movie theater is perfectly fine and like it's clean and whatever. You have like choices. I don't know what your life is like, but I'm just gonna tell you that AMC somehow they did that and they just took over every theater within like a 5-mile radius of where I live and it's hell and it's disgusting. And if I was if I was the CEO of AMC, I would say first things first, we're changing up our entire branding. We've got to get rid of this black and red branding. It's true, so unbecoming. I can't even deal. It makes me actually ill to think about and envision. It hurts my brain, and I think it's causing my mitochondria to fail, even thinking about it.
I think black and red are also a very brutalist pair. I mean, that's like what, like, that was like the Nazi color.
Yeah, it's just like, why would you want to put that on people?
Yeah,
in this day and age,
sinister.
It's just like, can we not?
No.
This isn't Malignant.
No.
This isn't the Malignant poster. No. This is AMC. I'd say like, we need a whole...
That's you.
We need like a full millennial like rebrand of AMC. Or just like, not even, just like a rebrand.
See, but I would rather go to...
I think gold. Work
gold is...
Some silver and gold.
Gold is very... a trip to the cinema.
Yeah.
But I also enjoyed going to like an Alamo Draft House type of place.
Oh, I love an Alamo Draft
House. But I also
house.
Don't like being waited on while I'm watching a movie.
Oh, I like that.
I just don't like seeing the people coming and going. Just here. It's like, I like when I'm in a movie.
No, silence.
I don't need people like, it's cool.
Ducking
it's,
down and whatnot.
No, I just want like classic, just I want my own popcorn.
It does take you out of it.
I want to be in the movie, so I don't need to be dotted on, but some people are into that.
I like it, but I do wish that the food quality was better. You're just never gonna get like delicious food at a movie theater unless you're like popcorn is so great.
Arclight.
I know. An Arclight hot dog. Ooh, one of those sausage dogs. Ooh, ooh.
The dome. I just missed the dome.
I liked it, but it wasn't my... I just love going in the Arclight and being like, which movie will I see today?
And who will I see here?
And I will rub elbows with some friends. I might run into a few friends, a few enemies, but it's all fine because it's the arc light.
Yeah.
And like go see a movie by myself, park in the garage. It was just like there was nothing like it. And now we're relegated to just like sticky AMC, to which I say, you guys need to clean it up in there. You need to wipe down the counters. And once they're wiped, you got to do a dry wipe so you don't just let the wetness dry because that makes it sticky again.
But anyway, I went to this movie and I didn't realize it was like a in motion seat, which is where the seat will shake. And it's sort of like being on a ride.
What did you think when you stepped up to that elevated seat?
I don't know. I just thought it was like...
You just thought it was like a weird throne seat?
Yeah, or I just thought it was like a... Oh, this is how they're doing it here. I don't know.
I wish I could have had like a camera on you when you realized that it was like moving.
Well, it was kind of like...
Did you go...
No, it just... I had like cold brain, I think.
So you were like,
I was just like, whatever. I just wanted to get out of the house because I'd been cooped up and I was feeling better. So I didn't really care what I was in. And then all of a sudden it said, these seats move. There will be rain. Fake rain, wind, strobe lighting. If you have seizures, don't look. And I was just like, and I literally went.
With a cold.
And I was the only one in my row. And I was just like, oh, God. And.
Did you get a refund?
No.
You couldn't deal.
What was I going to do? They were going to be like, you literally should have just asked. Or like, it's...
Just be like, I didn't know. I love a refund.
I know. I'm going to go again. I liked the Batman. It was good. It was very much hearkening back to the Tim Burton style.
Ooh, I like that. I've been wanting to see it. But then again, every time, literally, I'm like, get excited to see a movie. And then I just think about Black and Red and 30 minutes. And then I just am like, I lose all zest for life.
Oh my God, growing up in my area in South Jersey, there was this theater called the Ritz Theater, and they played like indie movies and like awards favorites, not like mainstream. And it was like probably 20 minute drive from where I lived. So it was like my parents, it was the only theater they could go to because it was like kind of.
It was a highbrow.
Yeah, it was like a little like fancier. And we saw like Children of Men there.
Yeah.
Just like really awesome Oscar bait movies. But. It was always such a treat. My parents would be like, we're going to the Ritz. Find something for the Ritz. And I'd go in the, you know what I mean?
The newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Remember the newspaper?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That was so exciting.
I mean, like, it's happening. And it would have like the little pictures of
What lies beneath the 7 p.m. showing? Oh, let's go. To the Cinemark 6 we go. To the Cinemark 6 we go.
I... have been to that exact theater at Hollywood and Highland that does the jerk about seats. I went to go see the latest Fast and Furious movie.
It's not that fun, guys.
No, it's like, it really feels like you're just going to be thrown out of the seat at any time and it just jerks you around and it's actually incredibly distracting.
No, it's like it's a long, terrible log flume.
And I'm without like this fun splash.
No, and it's spraying me and I'm like, I don't want to be wet
with like this, you know, that's like chemical water.
And that's why the smell was actually getting, it was like arid. I was like, or it smelled like acidy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't.
It's like treated, it's like dirty chemical water.
No, and I was like, I'm not feeling that great. I'm getting out of here.
You and made like, the right decision.
I don't want to, some shit's going to get flammable and we're all going to burn to death.
They're like pyrotechnics.
So I was just like, you know what? And so I walked home down Hollywood Boulevard once more.
Defeated.
Walked by the L. Ron Hubbard Theater. It's like two blocks from me. And I was like, maybe they have a good movie.
I'll bet their theater is really nice. I'll bet they know how to keep things pretty clean and not sticky around there.
No one's... they've been
Say
closed.
What you want about, like, large religious organizations, but you're never going to walk into a Mormon church or, like, a Scientology tabernacle or whatever the fuck they call their gathering centers and say, like, it's gross in here.
No.
That's just never going to happen. And I really do respect that. I respect that those... mega cults can keep a space clean.
All religious except Catholics, all their stuff is shitty.
Well, Catholics,
it's all pain and like
it's dust.
It's dusty. Catholic is
like dusty, but has like a there's like some, there's good like incense smells sometimes at play if you're in like an old Catholic church.
I'm talking about like retreat places.
Forget it, those are really
dusty devil,
dusty, yeah, anything, any sort of retreat. I'm just talking about the actual.
Oh, I have to say, I took an SAT course at this Jewish community center that was in the town next to me. It was so nice. I like wanted to just like hang there. They had like, it was giant, and it was in like one of the classrooms. It was like almost like a college campus type.
Mm-hmm.
But they had ropes courses. It was just, they had like restaurants, and whenever I would go there, I would just be like, like skipping to my class.
That's really nice.
And it just smelled so good. It smelled like bread and like really like good food and just clean. It was so great. And I was like, why can't we have this in Catholic? Why can't we have like a nice center like this?
Like a homey center.
Yeah. Where there's ropes courses.
No, you're not going to get that.
No.
My church that I went to growing up just smelled like crackers, but like weird crackers.
Yeah.
The carpet smelled like crackers.
Ew.
Yeah.
I mean, my church had my youth group would do lock-ins in our furnace. The church got a renovation for the basement and it was like kind of nice. And we used to do lock-ins there. We'd sleep there. it was the highlight of our year.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was live so for a fun. Lock-in.
And we weren't, it was so funny. Anyway.
But just like.
A dusty basement of a church. With going to the bathroom and smelling like poop.
Hand wash and farts. Yeah. I just don't think that the Mormons would accept.
No.
They would not let that happen.
Speaking of Mormons, should we just get into it?
Yeah.
It's kind
finally.
Of like, finally.
Finally.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy, Unique Podcast,
Dusty
Salty
Utah
Queens.
Churches.
Thank God.
Thank God it's over.
Thank God we are blessed.
This episode was at least more interesting than the...
They could have just... had this episode only.
You know, by the time it finished, I thought, get rid of all of them except Lisa. I could do without any of them.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, purge.
As long as Lisa's around, that's all I really need.
No one answers anything. None of them are honest.
Yeah.
None of them ever like...
The whole point of being on a reality show is that it's like... I understand that Meredith was going through a big, painful thing.
We all were.
But I'm sorry. You're on a reality show. And for you to have this just going on in the back, like, without ever even addressing
that's it. That's
weird. I'm like, that's bizarre. And that's not what I signed up for as a viewer.
I mean, Roni in its prime, like, they all would just...
They bleed.
They'd go for the jugular, though. And they would all, like, say the truth about what they were feeling. A lot of the franchises do that. And like Potomac does it like the best out of all the new ones. None of them ever say what's really on their mind. And I think it's the culture of Salt Lake, like the Mormon shadow hanging over.
It's very strange.
But it's boring when they're all like, who here thinks Jen is innocent, guilty? And none of them. I'm like, you're all full of shit.
Yeah, you're all one by one full of shit. Because then Andy will ask them and she'll be like, well, I don't know. I hope not, but I don't know. And it's like, okay, so you don't think she's innocent. I think they just all have stuff on each other. And so it's like they just, whoever starts the avalanche, like no one wants to start the avalanche that will come when you're actually being honest in the group.
Well, that's why I'm saying get rid of all of them then. Bring in new blood that's going to be more like okay being candid and like going, being a viper. That's what this show is about. I'm sorry. Beverly Hills, they go in on each other.
This is supposed to be like Dynasty. Like the claws come out when the cameras and the lights go up. That's like the rule of Housewives.
And I'm sorry to say, I'm bored. I don't care about any of them except Lisa. Yeah. Mary's gone. So like she at least, that's why she was so entertaining because she just said what was on her mind.
Mm-hmm.
These women are all like, it's like, what are you actually thinking? Be honest. Be honest for a second.
You need to be honest.
No, truly. I'm watching this and I'm like, you guys are all fucking boring as fuck. And I would say that to them.
Yeah.
Probably not.
You better work. You would absolutely not. You'd be like, you guys are amazing. You're killing it. No, I love you on the show. And then I'd be like, what? And then we'd get in the car and you go like, they're so fucking
I'm
bad.
That fake.
I've seen you.
Do you think I'm a fake ass bitch?
No, I don't think you're a fake ass bitch, but I don't think you're going to be like brutal to people's faces.
Right.
The shoes are so good.
I felt like dressing up today.
You look great. I know. I love them. They're becoming. You're Michelle Obama becoming in this outfit.
I'm that picture of Tori Spelling going on the DJ with the.
I don't think that you would say as aggressively as you said to them. But I think you would get your point across in a kind way.
I just think it's really like either step your game up and play the rules. They're all too afraid.
What's the worst that could happen?
I'm telling you, it's because of the culture they were brought up in. I think they're all afraid to be. And I bet the stuff they have in each other isn't even that bad.
No.
It's just bad to them.
Yeah, like, I doubt that they've even done anything that's, like, that bad.
But when, like, Jen, which I loved, when she casually brought up that Justin has an investigation going on, like, yeah, they all kind of went, like,
and at
say
least-
something!
Yeah, at least Jen, you can count on her to be like wild, but I'm also just like,
honey, she's going to prison.
Yeah.
She's not going to be around for the next reunion.
I think her behavior is pretty despicable at the end of the day. Because I do believe that she's 100% guilty.
I do too.
And I think the narrative that she's trying to spin is like,
it's pretty.
It is.
It's a lot.
That's wrong. Like, that's wrong.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A round of applause, best actor of the year, Sharif.
Yeah, I'm buying what he's selling.
He's been so media trained and like rehearsed with the legal, like he is, and he's a lawyer himself. So he's he is just.
Well, he also has like a 6-figure job of his own to protect. Like he does make a lot of money.
And I think he had made a lot of money as a lawyer / sports
agent. And they talked about his like income or whatever, how people like were questioning it, blah blah blah, and like there's all that he makes a lot, like sports money, that's like what I got. Yeah. I was like NFL, okay, I got it. Yeah, great, say no more. But like he has his thing going on, and it need not be touched by this scandal.
He's standing by his man.
I know, God bless him. He does look like he is in hell, though. Or yeah, at least does a good job acting very, like, somber.
Honestly, though, after watching this, I was a little, like... At first, I was like, I don't think Sharif knew what was... And I think he's totally... But now I'm kind of like, I don't know. I think he's, like, a little shifty with, like, the way he's, like, really soapboxing this narrative of her innocence. It just makes me think, like... And I don't know.
I don't know if he knew.
I don't know.
Like, I don't, like, I could see a world in which they're just like, she's like, I'm making a lot of money. You're making a lot of money. I'm going to spend it the way I want to.
Totally.
And you have the right to do that too. And they don't have a lot of communication around that. But I do think that if he's a lawyer, the only way to really fight this is to have a united front and just 100%. Be like, she's innocent and that's the deal, even if she's not. And so I could see him just being like, knowing that she's going down, but deciding like, I'm gonna do my part in fighting this on her behalf because it's my wife. And
to that, on that purely human level, I respect that, because it's like anyone who's in this position that Jen's in would want their partner to like go down fighting with them, like, even if it...
Well, I don't think he's even gonna go down.
No, but like, I mean, like, want to feel like they're in it together.
You got them backing you up. They're backing you up until the bitter end.
He's a good husband.
But also, I mean, if you know that she's just gonna go to jail anyways, you might as well just be like, she's innocent, like, I'll do, you're like, I'm here for you, babe, like, whatever you want. And you know the clock is ticking, and like, it's true merely a matter of months until you're like off the hook entirely. So like, you might as well just be like, innocent as hell,
yeah,
fight the good fight, you got me, no problem, I back you up, whatever. That's probably the smartest thing to do. Because what else are you going to do? Fight Jen Shah?
No, and then like, when you emerge after she goes to jail, everyone will be like, oh, like, he was just being a good husband. Like,
and you're doing the right thing, but also knowing the end game. It's like,
yeah,
it's just
true.
Like it's a job that you assume, a role that you assume, knowing that there's like a end in sight.
he's got plans. He's making his plans in his head.
I think just to be like free of Jen Shah's insanity.
Her rage.
Yeah, I think just being free of the rage and the drama would be like a welcome respite. It's probably like...
I hope he has like a second life.
I know.
And he's just happy.
I'm like, I pray that he like gets his dick wet, but I am also like, I doubt it's even about that. I think when you've lived with just like such a like a succubus for so long, it's just like nice to be able to wake up and have like moments of peace throughout your day that aren't marred with like
Someone who throws their phone at someone's skull.
Yeah, and that just like always screaming and everything's a freak out and they're the victim all the time. And like, it's just like navigating their drama from like one crisis to the next. It's got to be like exhausting. And also, I mean, and he was like, will you be at the trial? And he's like, I absolutely will be there as much as my job can allow me. So he's also like, we have to remember he's 1 foot out the door anyways at all times because he's on the road 24/7.
Yeah, he's got a good setup, I think. He's good. He's going to be sympathetic to the public.
And it's easy if you don't actually even have to be there all the time. And the times that you're there, you're just like, I support you. Like, I know you're innocent. This is so hard, but I do have to go now. So I will see you in 2 months. Like,
gotta go coach.
Yeah, like, got a game. Got a practice time. I gotta go consult.
Road game.
Gotta go. Wait, Seth's Botox?
Okay, Seth, first of all, did he have COVID and that's why he wasn't there?
I think there was a COVID scare of some sort. I'm not interested in the details. I like just someone on a screen. Yeah.
I was thinking about that.
Screen representation is important for those who can't be here at the event.
On a giant computer screen.
My favorite is doing the meet and greet at Philly via screen.
Via satellite.
Via satellite. And having the woman at the venue would take everyone's pictures and you and the audience members would be looking at the camera and I'd be like looking off to the side. Guys, DM me those pictures if you have them from the meet and greet because those were some of my favorite.
It was truly like dystopian.
It was cool.
No, it was really cool. I just liked, we'd say, okay, bye. And then there'd be a delay. And then Laura would go, bye.
Hey.
I'm here.
Don't say bye to Tony Will.
But yeah, so Seth is like quarantining in Mississippi where he's living now. I'm like, what does this man do?
He lives there part time.
But Laura, what's Seth up to?
I don't know. We can't keep a job. Changes the job every 5 months. That's why they can't buy a house.
And he's like, Meredith, have you been to visit Seth in Mississippi? And he goes, she actually has.
And he goes, I would love to see that on camera. And Meredith goes, why? She was not soothed by that dig.
Okay.
Seth won me over, though, because when Andy was like, Seth, how did you feel about when you heard Lisa say that Meredith had fucked half of New York? And he goes, well, what you didn't hear her say is that I fucked the other half. I was like, okay, you have my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you silly Billy Mississippi man.
Yeah.
Get over here, you old Botox palm face.
I like when he goes, has like kind of a choked up voice and he goes, no one's handled pain better this season than Meredith Marks. And I was like, okay, are you a coach now? Like,
he really took it to a place of sports.
Yeah, I know. And he was like,
you've lost me.
So Meredith.
You lost me again, you old man.
Seth is just praising his wife for overcoming all of her adversity.
And I was like, wish I'd seen that.
Yeah, wish we'd known.
Wish I'd known about any of the adversity.
Yeah, liars.
Yeah.
Liars. All of them liars.
You can't do that.
I can't handle it, Laura.
It's bad.
I can't.
Andy put sexy John Barlow on the spot.
Mm.
I like seeing John wiggle a little bit. He handles it well.
He looked a little rough, I think.
Like in the face?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
But I just love his vibe.
He has a good vibe.
He's just kind of like, yeah, you know, it was hard to hear Lisa. She doesn't really talk like that ever. So yeah, it was hard for us to watch it. She broke down crying.
She goes,
yeah. Oh, God.
We try and find out how much Whitney has spent, which she also doesn't answer. No one actually does answer a single fucking question.
She goes, my sales are up 520% at Wild Rose.
540%.
540% at Wild Rose since this time last January.
Okay.
Cool. What does that mean?
Well, I guess if your sales were at zero and then you make a sale, aren't you up like 100%?
Mm-hmm. They made five sales.
They've made five orders. She goes, some of that money was to buy my partner out.
And then
Then it was about half of the savings. And then it cuts to Lisa. And Lisa's my shifty-eyed queen. You just see her. She does not approve of the savings thing.
She goes. And then Heather's like.
Codependent Heather.
I'm sorry. Heather kind of lost me a little with her like staunch defense. Such bullshit defense of Jen. And just her whole like. Well, it's like, stop defending everyone. Just defend yourself.
Yeah, say something interesting.
She goes, we always stock products of Wild Rose at Beauty Lab and Laser, and they always sell out immediately. I was like, okay.
Okay, well, now so I don't trust Beauty Lab and Laser, because why the fuck would you have those products there? I actually don't trust, I would not, if I walked into like an expensive med spa to go get injections or lasers and they had Wild Rose on the shelves, I'd be like, think again, bitch.
I'll be taking my business.
I gotta go.
And then Andy goes, Whitney, do you feel kind of guilty that Justin's so much older than you and you've basically squandered all of his retirement money? And she goes, oh, Andy, I am his retirement plan.
He goes, Whitney's the best investment I've ever made. You guys deserve each other. You're sick.
Sick.
You're sick and twisted individuals.
Dewey, I don't even want to talk about them.
I just love when Andy turns to Seth and Meredith and asks them all those questions about Lisa. And then Lisa just turns to Mer at one point. She goes, I'm so sorry.
And Meredith goes, I know you are.
Lisa is sorry. Just listen to her and hear her.
Also, Lisa only says sorry off camera.
I know.
It's so fucking stupid.
It is fucking fake.
This is all fake. This is a setup. It's a fucking setup.
This is as fake as Wild Rose.
As fake as the setup at Catering's Gate. Dewey is definitely in that like Brotherhood of Jacob that's in the Handmaid's Tale. He's like all about, you saw how amazing our children are. Why wouldn't anyone in the world not want that, more of that in the world? He's like, I think we should just be spreading more love and bringing more love, like the kids that we have, into the world.
You literally can do that without like birthing.
I was like, oh my God.
Like, get a grip. Therapy is really important. Sharif and Dewey both agree.
Sharif's like, I want to plug therapy.
Yeah. I was like, thank you, King. However, you're just the target audience that's watching Bravo are probably all women who are all in therapy.
Yeah, and gays. Andy's basically like, Sharif, the day of the arrest, when you got the call, or when Jen got the call from your assistant, were you actually in the hospital? And he's like, yes, I'll tell you this much. He goes, I have a history of rectal bleeding. And then you just cut to everyone's faces and they're all like this. And he goes, so that day I was having, well, gastrointestinal bleeding. So yes, internal bleeding. I was like, wait, you have hemorrhoids.
Oh, is that what he meant by rectal bleeding?
I mean, or...
Rectal bleeding is such an intense thing to say you have. I also was like, look, I can laugh all I want because I'm a rectal queen and have had my own fair share of journeys, which if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to Babe where I talk about it ad nauseum. But like,
I mean, I'm guessing it's hems.
I don't know.
What else is it?
Getting pegged too hard.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know, actually.
Anal tears.
Maybe as a fistula.
Yeah.
But I also just think that it's like,
I love that was internal bleeding.
When you invoking any sort of butt stuff when under like scrutiny is always like a carte blanche. Like no one wants to press too hard. You know what I mean?
If you bring it to a place of rectum, not even
when
anal,
you bring a
rectum
into the
it's game over. It's shock and awe on everyone's faces. It's like you men in black, everyone. Everyone's just like, whatever you just said, I forgot. Because you brought it to a place of rectum.
You talked about rectal.
I have a history of rectal bleeding.
I love... Oh, no. It also buys him a lot more credibility to be, like, vulnerable about his rectal bleeding in this moment.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's all part of the defense strategy.
It's all...
A wing of it is, like, Sharif's rectal bleeding.
No, 100%. Because so basically they're...
Sharif's, like, rock-and-roid. It's literally just, like... A hemorrhoid. Yeah, you're right. It probably is just a hemorrhoid.
But they made it sound like you had like...
Well, I can't tell you much, but I'll tell you this much. I do have a history of
And they all, you see Heather's face and she's like this. And then, so Jen apparently.
Lesson for anyone, sorry to interrupt again, but just like, if you're ever being questioned and like people are really trying to like come for you.
Say you were bleeding out of your hole.
Like, you really need to go to a place of rectal bleeding and it will back everyone off, at least for that time. Actually, anytime. I think rectal bleeding will just, it's a total get out of jail free.
Yeah. So they're alleging that the timing was truly coincidental and that Jen got the call on the bus from Sharif's assistant, just happened to get it 15 minutes before Homeland Security arrived.
That assistant said, Jen, coach's rectum, it's starting.
I saw it.
I love that she was like, she realized she had no choice but to leave and run to him to save his rectum.
But like, she made it sound like he had like internal like hemorrhaging or something. We've all bled.
He took like a bloody shit.
But
I'm sorry.
Listen, we've all been there.
We've all a fair share of rectal woes.
We've all had rectal woes.
Guess what? I don't need my partner to like leave the girls' trip if I'm just like having a light butt problem.
But I'm like bullshit. And he's like, so no one tipped you off. Sharif and his assistant did not. And she goes, absolutely not. I was like, oh my God, that is complete bullshit. I'm sorry. I don't believe that for a second.
Well, I heard that call, they made her reenact the call. She actually got the call before and then they had her reenact it on camera.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
I forgot about the rumor that Jen was red flagged. In the system of Louis Vuitton.
Oh, that was so funny. And he goes, so to be clear, are you red flagged? And she goes, not to my knowledge.
Someone at LV also DM'd me and they were like, she's not flagged. So I don't know who's starting those vicious rumors.
Can they send us stuff?
Doubtful. But also if you're listening and you can, just send us one thing.
We know you have a long list. You have a lot of fish to fry.
I don't think Louis Vuitton sends free stuff to people.
I was just being...
But no, I'm actually thinking about it because I would love nothing more, obviously, than free. But I don't think... Maybe actually to some. But they're mostly the girls in like the campaigns and stuff. Jen's crocodile tears.
I have to say Sharif is Jen's secret weapon.
Mm-hmm. He knows it and she knows it. He gives her credibility.
Yeah.
Because he's so, like, stoic and, like...
He's the Jackie Kennedy of this...
Yeah.
He's the one that's, like, you know, the people's princess.
Mm-hmm.
Jen basically is...
Just, I did not expect that. With everyone talking shit about her. What? You think that they would have anything nice to say about you after the way you treated them?
Well, Andy also goes, Jen, you leave your friends... to be surrounded by Homeland Security in a bus in a parking lot, like they're gonna be shaken up. Because Jen's like, why did you all talk about me after I was it's like, because, and Andy was kind of like, well, what do you, this is like a shocking, traumatizing moment.
The FBI and Homeland Security descended on them.
Do you not think they're gonna say like, that is fucking crazy and speculate on? And Jen's like, no, they shouldn't have. And then Jen brings up, she starts saying that there's racism involved in it and that they're all like questioning her because she's a brown woman with a black husband and that they're really successful. So that's why everyone's poking holes. And they're all kind of like, no, that's not why.
That literally is not why. They say they're like, from the beginning, the feeling that I got was that whatever Jen was doing was fraudulent from the fucking start. The way that she was just like so over the top with like money and spending and the clothes and stuff. I was just like, and the big house and the 8 assistants. It was like, how are you doing all this? And then you slowly started to peel back the layers and it's like the house is a rental, like blah, blah, blah. But it always felt inauthentic and it had nothing to do with her race. There was never a moment where I was like, to my knowledge, I don't think I was ever like, oh, how does Mary have that much money? Or if I did, it was like, does her church make that much money? And those are just because I'm fascinated about, like,
I mean, I always question
people's personal wealth on TV shows.
I question all the Housewives, how they make, like, every single franchise. I'm like, how do they make their money?
Yeah, or, like, where does their money come from?
Like, Teddy Mellencamp, I'm like, how does this bitch make her money? Ooh,
Papa John. And, and that's where that came from.
But, like, her business, you know, like, there's
her cyberbullying.
Her anorexia.
Her fat shaming.
Her pro Anna.
Lettuce cup texting business.
But she's, this is going to be her defense. And you're seeing it. It's like dress rehearsal for the trial. And she brings up that her sons and her nephew were walked out of the house at gunpoint, which is like, you know, the footage.
That was egregious.
That was egregious. And that, I agree with her, was like, that was too fucking far and disgusting. Because her young son should not have ever had a gun pointed at him.
No.
That's insane.
However, it's not like all of a sudden, out of nowhere, apropos of nothing, like Homeland Security came down on their house just like because. It's not like a Breonna Taylor situation, you know what I mean? It's like this is the consequence of truly what I believe to be her own actions and her own crimes that happened, which makes it that much worse when you're saying like how horrible and traumatic it was and how it never should have happened, which I agree with that. But like to have caused that.
She caused that
yourself.
And take
and
no
then
accountability.
Take no accountability.
And just be like, it just kind of, again, sorry. No,
no, it's fine. And then to invoke like racism, it's just like that is wrong. That's wrong.
It is.
It's wrong of her to put her family through this stuff. And like, I don't know how she truly sleeps at night. Like, yeah. I don't think be able to live with myself if I was committing crimes that would have negative effect on my whole family for years to come. And like my children would have to go through like traumatic police interactions because of crimes that I committed.
Well, that's the thing. Even if she's like innocent in air quotes, like, and she's, I think it would almost behoove her to be like, she has, it seems like even in her tale that she's weaving, she has no accountability.
There's
or
none.
Any sorrow over the fact that her actions, benign or not, or misunderstood or not, led to this horrific, egregious police, you know, display of power that was like definitely over the top and unnecessary to do to her family, her innocent family. And while that is wrong, on the other side, two things are true at once. That the police were fucked up for that, and that was, there was probably racism involved and was like kind of gross and like overpower play of some like gross display of that. But at the same time, Jen, you caused it.
Yeah.
And you have no, she has no shame over it. And she, why can't, I would be like, it haunts me that something I did or because of something I'm being investigated for had that kind of effect of my children. She had nothing to say about that.
No, there's no humility or anything. And that's, I also scary. Think that will be her downfall too.
I
like
agree
to just think that people, everyone's smarter than
no
being manipulated by this narrative that completely
makes no sense
and doesn't apply to her situation. It's called, you are indicted for wire fraud and money laundering.
Well, Andy says that at one point. She's like, why is everyone talking about me and being so, and Andy goes, Jen, you're being investigated for fraud.
Yeah. And he goes, the DA, the New York Attorney's Office has a 95% success rate of like prosecution. And then she goes on to say like,
I'm going to fight it.
And I'll fight for all those people who don't have the, she's basically like turning herself into this like martyr.
Well, that's going to be
her race. And I'm like, that is not what's going on here. That's absolutely like,
it's pretty, I think it's, it's pretty gross.
It's gross. I don't think people are taking that.
No, of course not. But I think to even go that, to take it to that level is like, it's, you know, I don't want to like speak to that because I'm like, I don't have that experience, but like, it's watching it as a viewer. It's like, that is just shameful to do
it's
that.
It's really manipulative.
It's super manipulative. And it's to people who actually are being wrongfully accused and targeted because of their race. Like, you are not in that category.
No.
That's not okay for you to like compare yourself to that. It's disgusting.
It's really bad.
And your children and your nephew and your family, like, they're going to be traumatized by something you caused for the rest of their lives. And you have no shame over that. And that's what freaks me out about watching her. Mm. She's a full-blown psychopath. I think she's a true sociopath. And notice how her tears, she'll be crying in 1 minute and then she'll make a joke and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, she's like, because Meredith called the cops. It's yeah, like, I don't... fuck you. I think she's a complete narcissist.
Maybe. I'm just...
You don't think so?
I think that those words get thrown around like so much these days.
Yeah, but if I think fraud to this level of what she's being accused of is antisocial behavior. And I think that's bordering on sociopath.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it gets thrown around a lot. But like, I think to harm people in this way without any sort of...
No shame or acknowledgement. But it's also like she has to have a defense. She has to have a defense strategy. I mean, you can't be like, I'm so ashamed, but then also be like, but I'm also like innocent.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about like.
I mean, I get what you're saying. The whole approach is like something has to be wrong with a person to act like this.
I'm more talking about like the action, the very actions she's being accused of.
Yeah.
That takes someone who has very little conscience, I think.
Yeah, no conscience. But I think that's different than being like sociopathic or psychopathic. Like,
isn't no conscience a sociopath?
Yeah, but people create, like, people do like money scams on people all the time. And like, that doesn't necessarily, people that scam people like that, you think they're all sociopaths?
No, but I think there's levels to it. No, I don't. Of course, I don't think everyone is a sociopath who does something bad. But
No. But I mean, like, I think that.
But to take advantage
in
this, of
in the digital day and age, where it's like you can very easily,
yeah,
you can take money from people, and it's different than like going into their house and stealing something. Like,
right.
You can just like steal from people digitally. You never know the effect that it has. Like, they're basically just like a series of ones and zeros. And then money goes into your bank account. Mm. I think it's like pretty easy to do that and not think about the consequences because there's not really like a face or a person involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe that's making people more sociopathic in general because they're, it's like your conscience doesn't play into it. But I think that that is the reason why it's easier for a lot of people to not have a conscience about.
Something's wrong with her. She,
yeah, I mean, something's definitely wrong with her.
If you throw objects at people's heads who are helping you, like, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, so. I would love to know, like, I would love a diagnosis. Like, I would love, like, a
armchair.
psychiatric analysis, deep dive of what is wrong with Jen Shaw.
Yeah, if anyone else
I'm open to, like, all possibilities, but I don't.
I'm not
playing devil's advocate on the side of like, I feel like everyone is like, this person's a sociopath.
I agree with you totally. I just think like.
But it's easy to be a sociopath now online.
But she also was calling people, leaving voicemails.
Yeah.
Like, she was the mastermind with Stuart behind this. So I think they're both fucked up. She hasn't talked to Stuart.
Yeah, hasn't talked to him since they were arrested.
Andy goes, Have any of you reached out to Stuart? And then Lisa goes, I did. I called Stuart.
She called Stuart immediately.
And then Jen goes, yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah, she's starting. It's also just crazy that, like, this is why I think Jen is not a sociopath, is because she can't help herself. But, like, she doesn't know how to truly help herself in these situations. Like, I feel like a sociopath is someone that would come into the room and say all the right things and do the act and give the people what they want. Yeah, but aren't psychopaths like killers and stuff?
No.
Oh.
You don't have to be a killer to be... Psychopath is like...
She's just greedy and money hungry.
Yeah, I'm not... Look, I'm not... I didn't study the mind. I have a BA.
If you're a psychiatrist...
Yeah, weigh in on what you...
Yeah, give me a diagnosis because I'm fascinated. But the reason I think that it's like she's not that good at it is because she can't play the game. She can't come in and act like humble or really sell the I'm so innocent, like I'm being targeted because of race package. Like she negates her own defense. And I think like a true like evil genius would know better how to handle that.
We got a glimpse of Jen's casting tape where she reveals that she spends her Cherie says Jen was spending $50,000 a month on shopping.
Fucking crazy.
I can't do the math. It's like $10 million a year on shopping.
It's a lot.
Or 20
$6 million a year.
You know, I don't know. What?
I never said I was a role model. I like Jen's like, why you come in here, you question me because I'm the only brown woman in this group, and Whitney goes, no, because you said that you spend $50,000 a month, and it cuts to her tape and she's like, I spend $50,000 a month, and I'm like, exactly like
you can't use this defense.
You can't say that because everyone has the receipt.
Jen's going full Julianne Moore in Magnolia. I come in here. I'm sick. I'm surrounded by sickness. Where's your fucking decency? Fuck you. Suck my dick. Motherfucker. Motherfucker. Whitney Rose goes, Jen, what did I say or do? And then Jen goes, can I talk, please? And then she goes, yes. Also, Jen's outfit makes so much noise.
Yeah, it's like that bustier. The corset is like just a constant jingle jangle.
Lisa goes, don't call me bitch, Jen. And then Jen goes, bitch.
That was the best part of this whole episode was Jen and Lisa's like spar. When Jen goes, she was like, I can't believe what you said about me on Watch What Happens Live, Whitney. And then it cuts to like a Watch What Happens Live from like 3 years
with
ago.
With her hair.
When she had like Kate Gosselin hair. She goes, I do not know where Jen gets her money. Perhaps she has a sugar daddy. And then Jen's like, why did you say that? Because I'm black. And Whitney's like, no, literally just because we don't know what you or your husband do for a living and you spend so much money.
She goes, oh, I was just being a wild rose in that moment, being tee hee hee.
You felt the prick of the thorn of a wild rose. And then she goes, and you, Lisa, calling 6 lawyers. And Lisa goes, well, I did have to call 6 lawyers because I just needed to see what was on the docket. And then she goes, don't talk about the docket to me. What the fuck is a docket? And she goes, I've explained the docket to you. Don't act like you don't know. Google it if you don't know. And then Jen is like freaking out on her about the docket. And Lisa goes, ooh, I know what you're trying to do. I know exactly what you're trying to do. Change the narrative. She's right.
Also, Andy brings up Jen's Uber situation. He goes, there was a whole podcast, which is Bitch Sesh, where they interviewed the driver of the Uber who drove you and you paid to drive you like off course. And Jen goes, I you know, it was just 45 minutes away and I just didn't feel like being in the Uber. So I had someone pick me up.
She says, well, I mean, it's a lie. And then just laughs.
And then Meredith, at one point, Jen goes, Meredith, what exactly did I do to you to terrorize your family? And Meredith goes, well, I have to say that I was brought information about each and every one of you. And there were things being said by Jen and there was evidence of collusion. I was like, oh my fucking God. Just tell us what happened.
I know.
Stop being so fucking coy.
Andy goes, so you hired a private investigator. And she goes, well, it was actually a cyber specialist. Okay, bitch, then what did he say?
What did he say? Give us the docket.
And there's no docket because they just all received like Joker text messages and they don't know from who.
I received evidence from the private investigator that there was, in fact, collusion going on.
Collusion of what?
Collusion? You live in Park City.
Collusion to, like, send you silly, threatening texts?
To send you the wrong...
Roses are red, violets are blue. We got you.
Did send you the wrong pair of skis?
Okay, like, I have a theory. Fuck? I have a really dark theory.
Okay.
About the text messages.
Say it.
I think that Jen sent the text messages and also sent herself a text message to make it seem like she was also being targeted. Because if I was in that situation and I wanted to cyberbully, that's exactly what I would do.
Well, it's like that writer that there was that article about some big writer who I won't name, but she was like a big social justice activist on the internet. And she stood up to Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson. And it came out that allegedly when she was working at Huffington Post, she would create fake accounts to bully her coworkers. And her whole platform was like about being bullied by Trump supporters and how she's like brave. But she had done it years before and then made up accounts to target herself.
Yeah.
And apparently she was like going on people, like her coworkers being like, you're a fat bitch. But then was doing it to herself.
Yeah.
And they were all like, we know this is you. And she was like, what?
Not me.
I won't say her name, but I think everyone knows who I'm talking
about. I remember that story. Yeah. And so that's just what I think happened. And I love Meredith goes... And it all came flooding back to me when I read the indictment and I saw the words encrypted messaging. And she goes, and that's when I knew.
And then she takes...
But they really goes, don't oh. say what she ever knew.
Everything is just so sensual.
She goes, and that's when I knew.
I've experienced evidence of collusion.
I was in the bath
when I received the message.
And the warm water and the soap ran over my wet body. And that's when I knew there had been encrypted messages.
And evidence of collusion.
Ooh, I have a tickle. I think that she should do a full sexy collusion show. She should have... Meredith should have been the one to investigate Russiagate or whatever it was. She was...
She should be on Mad
Your Honor... Rachel,
we
in
brought
my
in
humble opinion, there has been evidence of collusion.
Straight from Park City, it's former attorney and current jewelry designer Meredith Marks.
Real cast member of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Meredith Marks. Meredith, what have your findings been so far?
Well, Rachel, there's evidence that Trump has colluded with Kremlin. And there's sort of a union going on and all sorts of nefarious things happening. And she goes, thank you so much, Meredith. And she goes, you're welcome.
That's been, she's like, and now you know there has been collusion.
That's Maddow.
The docket bit really, truly killed me. I was like, this is like a play.
Mm-hmm.
And then the episode, it truly just got ends. To a point where there were awkward pauses and I was laughing because... I stopped taking notes after a certain point.
Me too. I don't know how it ended.
These bitches have asked way too much of me.
I stopped watching with 3 minutes left.
Damn it. I was depending on you for this final moment.
I don't fucking know. Who knows?
The mystery. He asked everyone, like, do you guys think that Jen is guilty or innocent? And then Heather goes on her fucking own martyr diatribe.
Shut up.
She goes, I will stand by. I don't even care. She goes, guilty or innocent, I'm her friend no matter what. And I will hold her hand till the end. I will be there every day in the court. I was like, you're going to go to New York and be in court every day.
She called you fucking Shrek and Honey Boo Boo. She called you fat.
Yeah.
And like made fun of you.
If you call me fat,
you're done.
Not only am I not going to court to support you, but I will be testifying against you.
She was so rude and bullied her online and like... targeted her and was just and pushed her and physically abused her. I'm sorry.
Heather needs Al-Anon.
I've been on a journey with Heather back and forth. I can't
like Heather and I do think she means well, but I'm just like hitching your fucking whatever to Jen's whatever is not the look.
I will go down with this ship. And I will turn and surrender.
Andy asks all the women like what they've learned.
That's more than I watched.
I forget what they even said.
I've learned that you can never mess with a wild rose. One prick of a wild rose is three pricks to a non-wild rose.
I've learned that if the shoe fits, it's a wild rose.
I've learned a thing or two on this show, and I've learned that my sales have gone up 575%.
I thought it was 540.
540% and still rising.
I've learned how to generate leads and call lists of my own. And if you get a call from a wild rose, just say yes. Give me your information legally.
I've learned that when the cookie crumbles too far, it turns out to be a wild rose cookie. Trick or treat.
Who's there?
Wild rose. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Rose.
Rose who?
A rose who is wild.
Anyway.
I've learned how to withdraw funds from a savings account, write a check, and pay myself and buy out a business partner and be a wild rose.
I've learned to drain my husband of his retirement fund, but in a fashion that denotes that of a wild rose.
I've learned that if I lean down with my boobs in my husband Justin's face for long enough, he will allow me to withdraw $150,000 increments of his retirement fund.
Which is $350,000.
Because there have been two increments. Actually,
three.
Three. And another one today. But that's wild rose. Am I wrong?
I bought these new boots.
Do you see this dress with one arm covered, one not covered? That's just wild rose behavior. That's one increment.
Anyway, guys.
Everyone learned something. I don't know what they learned.
If anyone out there truly has an expert, I'm not talking about like...
I want a diagnosis on Jen, truly.
I want like someone who is a practicing psycho specialist, mental health specialist.
I would argue too that Sharif is more of a sociopath than Jen. That's my other hot take.
Yeah.
If he knew about what she was doing and is also backing her up, I think that's like, because he sells the package.
That's what I was saying.
I know. But yeah, let us know as usual.
We love you. We're done with Salty Queens. Thank God.
Thank God. But we have our new, we have a few wild roses up our sleeve.
We have a wild rose coming your way. So stay tuned.
We have new mob
midwives.
We have midwives coming this week and a new surprise coming
next week.
So stay tuned, darling.
Starting next week.
The wild roses are starting.
Bye.